Good evening, my lords, ladies and gentlemen. My task in the next 20 minutes is to help set the scene for our debate on turning knowledge into value in the marine sector. I'd like to start with what I believe to be the single most important driver of innovation, and that is inspiring successive generations of scientists, engineers, and technologists. Every year, I and a small group of scientists and engineers present the SUT Christmas lectures for schools at the National Maritime Museum in Greenwich. My role at these lectures is to convey the broad sweep of ocean science and technology, and at the same time to lay out some of the exciting career opportunities for the audience of teenagers that attend the lectures. I always start my lecture describing the things that inspired me to pursue a career in ocean science and technology, and using these to illustrate just how far we have come over half a century and how much farther the next generation can go in the next half century. I'm sure many of you in the audience will remember watching this on a small black and white television, or if you were extremely fortunate in 1969, on an early colour television, probably the most sophisticated technology of the day.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Man on the moon.
What?
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is a perfect example of what was described earlier today in the Catch the Next Wave conference as setting clear and audacious goals. Clear and audacious goals that inspired a whole generation. The Apollo missions certainly did inspire my generation, I'm sure many of you in the audience today, to dream. And this iconic view of the Earth from the Moon taught us that the Earth really is planet ocean. I then take my young audience back to another source of inspiration for me, and that is the exploits of Auguste Piccard in the early days of atmospheric and ocean exploration. A particular inspiration for me was the descent of the Batiscafe Trieste to the bottom of the Challenger Deep back in 1960, something we heard a lot more about earlier today. Whoops, how do I go backwards here? And you see here the Batiscafe Trieste being prepared for a dive. I'm sure this brings back many memories for at least one person in the audience. I'll just leave that to run for a short while. And for those of you that were in the meeting earlier today, you'll see something of the level of technology that was involved back in 1960. We're honoured to have Don Walsh, one of the co-pilots on that historic dive, with us here tonight. Over his long and distinguished career, Don has played a pivotal role in ocean exploration and the development of ocean technology, as well as a much wider role in exploration as honorary president of the Explorers Club. At the end of my Christmas lecture, my 2012 Christmas lecture, I was able to conclude with Jim Cameron's descent to the bottom of the Challenger Deep. More than 50 years on from the Trieste, the dive of the Deep Sea Challenger is inspiring another generation to dream about ocean science and technology. Only this time, the message will reach an even bigger audience, with a National Geographic movie about the dive and all of the publicity surrounding that. So what is this process we call innovation? Fundamentally, innovation is about the exploitation of new ideas. It's about linking a technology or solution insight to an actual or potential need. In a business context, it is doing something which adds economic value through being adopted by paying customers. Innovation does not always equal sophisticated technology. And a perfect example of that from the maritime sector is the humble shipping container, an innovation that has profoundly impacted on maritime transport, but which required no great technological advances for its realisation. Equally, innovation is not always about a new product. It can just as easily be a new business process, which reduces costs, or producing a product or service, or a new route to market. And a perfect example of that is iTunes, with a range of different technologies coming together to make possible a new route to market, which completely transformed an entire industry. Innovation is a complex process. It's certainly not a linear process. It's often portrayed as moving from, if you like, the left of this diagram to the right, guided by research and guided by knowledge. But in reality, it's an extremely complex process involving many feedback loops, many connections, dipping in and out of research, dipping in and out of different pools of knowledge to realise that connection of a novel idea or solution to a potential market. It has many potential points of failure. At its heart, the innovation process is about new ideas and designs, and connectivity plays a key part in their generation. And this is what our event earlier today was all about, trying to foster that connectivity. In the 19th century, that innovation was often characterised as the activity of the lone inventor, although it could be argued that even the greatest of these individuals were building on the knowledge of many others. The 20th century was the century of corporate innovation, with larger numbers of participants working together, usually within single organisations, to realise new products and services. In the 21st century, we're seeing the emergence of open innovation, involving many different networked organisations and individuals, connecting many different disciplines and sectors. Here are a few apposite quotations about this process. Innovation is fostered by information gathered from new connections, from insights gained by journeys into other disciplines or places, from active collegial networks and fluid open boundaries. Put perhaps more succinctly by Steve Jobs, creativity is just connecting things, just being a rather poor term to use perhaps, but that's essentially what the process is about. To be sustainable and to grow, any business needs a lot of new ideas. And returning to Steve Jobs, the key trick in business is picking the ideas with the best chance of success and discarding the rest. In my experience, companies do not fail as a result of lack of good ideas. They fail because of an inability to adequately concentrate on just a few carefully chosen nuggets that will ensure their future sustainability and growth. Steve Jobs also well recognised the complexity of the innovation process and the fact that you have to create markets as well as just responding to intermediate customer needs. I think that's a very appropriate cartoon. Government has an important role to play in creating an environment that encourages turning knowledge into value. Historically, government intervention in the process has concentrated on translating basic research into applied research and development. But more recently, governments have begun to recognise that the other stages in the innovation chain are equally prone to failure, especially for smaller organisations who lack the critical infrastructure needed to effectively take a good idea to market. Another important role of governments is as the customer for new products and services, creating the initial market pull that takes a product or service to critical mass. Ocean science and technology businesses in the UK have always viewed with some envy the perceived role of the US government has played in fostering domestic innovative technology businesses as a customer, leading to the US dominating many key segments of the ocean technology market. And of course, the most important role that government plays comes back to creating motivated and informed talent to feed the translation of knowledge into value. Here, government plays a pivotal role in supporting the education of the next generation. We often talk of the valley of death, which is usually portrayed as a valley between basic research and its translation into applied research and development. I would contest that this is not the only valley of death in the innovation process, and it is probably not the most important. Equally challenging are the transitions between a good idea and a product or service, between a developed product and the means of producing it, between the means of production and the creation of market awareness, and between market awareness and effective sales, delivery, and support infrastructure. Great ideas can fail at any of these hurdles, and frequently do. I'll now attempt to draw together some of the strands I've presented in just a few conclusions. Firstly, the role of government. A key role of government is supporting high-quality basic research, and doing so in ways that avoids the pitfall of trying to fund only the research that might generate economic value. The history of scientific research is littered with examples of research perceived to have no practical value, but which turned out to change the world. Another key role of government is to help businesses, and especially smaller businesses, successfully navigate those various valleys of death. I've already made the point that knowledge derived from research often drives innovation far from its origins. Think of computers or advanced materials as examples. This is especially true of the marine sector, which generally lacks the level of investment of many other sectors, such as medicine or aerospace. Many great innovations in marine science and technology have been driven by strengthening cross-disciplinary and cross-sectoral communication. Many more will be if we work at fostering these interfaces and unusual partnerships. The Catch the Next Wave conference earlier today aimed to play a small part in furthering this process. I firmly believe that many of the most significant future innovations in ocean science and technology will come from making these connections stronger. Just by bringing together what's happening in fields as diverse as medical sensing, optical communications, nanotechnology, low-power microelectronics and computing, to name but a few. Finally, I return to my opening theme of education and outreach, especially to the next generation. Whether we are in government, civil society, research or industry, we all have a part to play in inspiring, educating and mentoring the next generation of scientists and technologists. You see here a view of the Royal Institution Christmas Lectures, and I look forward to the day when we see an RI Christmas Lecture Series dedicated to matters marine and conveyed to an audience of many millions of young people. Thank you for listening.